How's it
Hello.
going? There you are. How's it
Very
going,
good,
Joe?
thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Very good, thank you. Really appreciate you rescheduling this. Thank you so much.
Sure, not a problem. I'm glad we could do it. I said, how far are you ahead of you are? What time is it there?
It's 9:30 at
Okay,
night.
so you're 5 hours ahead of me.
Ah, very nice. Where are you? Are you in Georgia?
I'm in Georgia, so I'm in the East Coast. We are Have you ever been to the States?
Yeah, I went to Berkeley, so I used to live in Boston,
Oh, okay.
for a year. Yeah, so I know the 5 hour difference.
Well, we're a lot south of Boston, but yeah, we're same side. Pretty easy, Joe. What we do is just going to be a conversation like we're having now. We'll listen to your music, talk about whatever comes up. It's all audio recorded, so what I do is I'll take the audio out of it later. I'll edit it down and release it. So this is all pre-recorded. If you have to
Brilliant.
let me go at any time, feel free to stop me because I won't get my feelings hurt. I get long-winded sometimes.
No, that's great. I love that. I love the opportunity to get long-winded. Well, same to you. If I get too long-winded, you can stop me as well.
All right. You got any questions or anything for me?
Tell me about that Lord of the Rings poster.
I'm building a studio. I have a four-car garage, and I'm building a studio. So I've split the walls up. You can't see it. It's kind of over there as I'm
Oh,
building.
what a space. That's so cool.
So I basically divided it in half. The Lord of the Rings poster was my oldest son's when he was 10. He's now 26. He wanted it out of his room, so he stuck it in the garage. We just hung it up in the garage. I haven't taken it down yet.
And maybe you shouldn't. I don't know. That looks like such a cool space. It's going to be amazing.
Yes, I cannot wait to be finished. My goal is by next Christmas is to have it done and have all the, because I'm doing it by myself. I'm doing it by hand. I've got the insulation up and I've got the walls up. I've got most of the panels on the ceiling. You can't really see. I'm building that
Oh,
up.
nice. Yeah.
So I just got to put the walls and the carpet. So I'm fingers crossed I have it by next year.
I'm excited for you.
So I'm gonna leave all this in because I might have a conversation. So I'm gonna introduce
Great.
us a little bit. Everybody, this is the Georgia Songbirds, and we're here, Mr. Joe Hicks, singer-songwriter out of the UK. And as you can tell, I think he's a Lord of the Rings fan.
Little bit.
So we're gonna dive into that as well as his music. But go ahead and introduce yourself, Joe.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for having me. As Jesse said, my name is Joe Hicks. I'm from a little town called Newbury in England, and I now live in Bristol, a slightly bigger town. And I've been releasing my music for the past 6 years, I think now, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, out of the Lord of the Rings, because we did get in that conversation, did you watch The Hobbits and all that stuff too?
Yeah, and I'm really glad that I was old enough to I read the books before the first film came out, so I had a bit more context. And so yeah, I've seen it all, and it just caught my eye in the back of your room. I think I was playing the main theme on guitar. It's kind of quite a nice ergonomic thing to go to on the guitar when I'm not really thinking about what I'm playing. So it just happens to come out quite a lot when I'm playing.
Yeah, you get good eyes. I can't even see it, and I'm here. So you can see that one on the other side. You probably can't see it, but that one's mine. That's I don't know if you can make that out. It's dog shooting
No.
pool.
Dogs. Oh, amazing. The classic image. Yeah, I love that.
That one's mine.
Fantastic. You have good taste, sir.
Thank you, sir. We talk about books. I love the books more. Like when I was a kid, I read all the time. I loved reading, and I found out that the books are so much better than the movies. I have not read the Lord of the Rings books yet. My son has. He keeps telling me I need to read it. I've read all the Harry Potter several times, but I haven't read the Lord of the Rings yet. Which one do you like better, Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter?
Oh God. I like the Harry Potter books better than the Harry Potter films.
Oh, yes.
I think I love the films and the books equally in Lord of the Rings. I did make the mistake of trying to read, I don't know if you know about the Silmarillion, which is kind of Tolkien wrote this other book, which I think the new series that's just come out, Lord of the Rings series, is based on that, and it's basically like a history of everything, but it's so dense. And I think I was like 11 years old trying to read this. It's essentially a history book that he wrote about all the elves, and it's just like dates and so many names. And so that's where I draw the line. But I think that films wise, Lord of the Rings all the way.
See, my OCD kicks in with that stuff because my wife, she tried. I'm a very fast reader. She's not so fast, and she likes the audiobooks. I can't stand audiobooks because I don't remember if it's being read to me. I tune out. I have to physically have a book in my hand and I have to read it. And so she's in this series by Laura K. Hamilton's Anita Blake. It's like a vampire hunter book. And
Okay.
so she had me read it, and I was like, I don't want to read that because I was always like Stephen King, Dean Koontz. I had my stuff that I knew I would like. So I ended up reading it, and I did like it. And now I want to go back and reread it. But like I said, my OCD is kicking in. I want to take and make like timelines. So I want to write every person who they are, when they died, what they had part of this series, and then go book to book to book and just make like a huge timeline for it. I don't know why. I guess that's my OCD. It's kicking in. That way I can follow it better. I can like, oh, I know who this is. They're so and so, and they did this, and they did this, and this is when they died. And
I love the sound of that. That's right up my street. And that, thank God I don't have the time to do it, because I would.
I think that's the issue here too, is I don't have the time to do it because I read at night before I go to bed. It makes me sleepy. That's the only way I can do it.
Yeah,
So
that's the time.
you mentioned playing the Lord of the Rings riff. How long have you been playing guitar?
I started when I think I was eight, and there was a classical guitar teacher who taught at my primary school, my elementary school, and he just did it. He did an assembly where he brought two or three of his students in and showed them off playing, and I went, oh wow, that's really cool. And so I started lessons, I think, the next semester, and just did classical guitar for the first like 5 years
What was the first song
before
that you remember learning?
the first little tune was just Jaws, the theme tune to Jaws, because it's just two notes.
Okay.
And yeah, I just fell in love with it. I was addicted to practicing for sure.
Now, do you remember the first song that you heard on the radio that you're like, oh, I want to do that?
That's a great question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that before. I have vivid memories of my parents, of a certain age, where they did listen to a lot of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. But I remember my dad had, do you remember the Eric Clapton BB King album, Riding with the King?
Yes.
And I couldn't tell you what song it was, but that was on in the car on the way to school, and I kind of connected the dots. I'd already started kind of thinking about playing guitar, I think, and I just went, this is amazing. What is this? And
Eric Clapton
that's
is
the
probably one of my favorite guitarists of all time.
amen to that.
And Santana, that's another one that I
Oh wow.
love. So they did you hear did you see the album they did when they did a song together? They're basically playing the same guitars, so just one's in the left channel and one is in the right channel.
Oh wow. No, I don't know about this.
I have to find that song once you hear it. It is really good. Like I said, I loved Clapton. I loved when he was with Cream. I mean, just his style is crazy good. See, mine
Yeah.
was the Eagles. I listened to the Eagles. That's what kind of turned me on to music. The first thing I remember hearing on the radio. And I'm sure I heard more before that, but the first one that I really remember hearing and connecting to was the Eagles' Heartache Tonight.
Right, okay.
And I associate that with close because it was always Saturday. My mom would turn the radio on, we'd do our chores, cleaning house, doing clothes, doing whatever we had to do. And I always remember hanging the clothes on the line and me listening to the radio. And that's the first song I remember hearing on the radio was the Heartache Tonight.
Wow, that's such a cool way in to music.
Now, being that you're from the UK, I always ask this question. Last time I asked a band this, they went back and forth for a while. Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Beatles for me.
Beatles.
I love the Rolling Stones, but if I had to wipe one from history, I'd keep the Beatles.
Because of the songwriting aspect of it.
Yeah, the songwriting, some of the great guitar riffs. George Harrison's guitar work is ridiculously good. It's they're kind of my mum's favorite as well, and I just got into the songwriting. And in fact, on the tour I just did, we did had a 6 hour drive, and we went through Revolver, Sgt. Pepper's, the White Album, and just even having listened to them all 100 times, like, just again, I found new things in the songs on this listen. It was, yeah, it just blew me away again.
See, for me, it's always been the Stones. I think it's more of, I love the rock sound of it more. I just love
Yeah.
that aspect, because it's the same thing that here in the States you're asking, is it Skinner or Zeppelin? And that's like one
All
of those
right.
questions. Like, how do you answer that question? Freebird or
Wow.
Stairway to Heaven?
That's interesting. I didn't know that was a. I did find, I think I said to you at the start that I, when I lived in Boston, there was. I find it fascinating how there's a few artists that I came across that everyone that was American that I met knew them, like they were so famous, and then I'd never heard of them, and vice versa. I find that fascinating. I don't think it happens as much now because of the internet, but bands that blew up in England that didn't blow up in America, and there's these little gaps. Like, I remember we were talking about the band Heart. I'd never heard of them until I moved to America. Never
Really?
even come across any song by them. Maybe subconsciously, I don't know, but I love discovering that and going, oh wow, you guys really know this, and I have no idea.
See, that's fascinating to me, because I love, like, I'm here in Georgia and I listen to music, and it's like you said, the internet and Spotify and all that's kind of blends everything. You hear people from all over the world. But I guess that would be kind of like, who are some of maybe the British side or the UK side that we don't know about, that, because you mentioned Heart. So I imagine it's probably like in the 80s, maybe early 90s. So who's, like, I know we had Nirvana here. I'm sure you guys listen to those too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure I'll now struggle to think of a single one, but like, do you know who Robbie Williams is? Okay, so he's like one of the biggest pop stars in England from the past 20 years.
Okay.
And if you played his song Angels in any bar in England, everyone would sing. But I think he never broke through. That's just one I can think of.
I'm writing these names down. I always like to look into
Rob,
new music.
yeah, Robbie Williams. He was in a band called Take That,
Okay.
which were, and they were like a boy band in the 90s. I suppose another one is, do you know about the Britpop kind of battle in the mid-90s in the UK? There was Oasis, which I imagine you may have heard of,
Well, yeah, I love
and
Oasis.
they were against Blur. Do you know Blur? So
No.
that's an interesting, oh, that's fascinating.
See, because
Yeah,
here
I don't.
in the States, it was Oasis and Bush.
All
That's who
right.
they kept going. Like, who's better, Bush or Oasis?
Oh, fantastic. I'm gonna do my own list and check out a bit more Bush. I've heard of Bush, but yeah, Blur is, but they're like super, some of their songs are really English and kind of really tune into a lot of slang in their lyrics. So maybe it just didn't translate at the time. Yeah, it's fascinating.
You see, to me, I couldn't tell you a lot of these bands. It's like when you watch movies and they're British actors, but they don't have any accents. Like, you don't think about it. Like, I think AC/DC, and you talk about, like, who else was, like, the Scorpion, stuff like that. You don't even think about it. My wife is from Germany, so I teach her about liking
Oh,
David Hasselhoff, because, I mean, that's kind of like that's the kind of style that she would listen to. And I'm like, that's not good. But I've had so many guests to come on from the UK and from Canada and all over the world. But the UK has so many musicians, and their style, they love music probably as much as I feel like we do here in the States. Your guys, I think, leans a lot more toward rock, just from what I've seen, like blues and rock and roll. But it fascinates me, because music can connect everybody. It always does. Doesn't matter who you are, what you look like. It doesn't matter. Music is you. It's you can hear it. It's subjective. If you like it, you like it. But to hear, like you mentioned, some of these bands that are big over there, and vice versa, that I never thought of it like that. You just assume that, oh, I know that band. You don't know this. How do you not know this band? And it kind of brings stories out of people.
Yeah. God, it's the one that makes me think of now is the whole story about Kings of Leon kind of blowing up in the UK first and then kind of moving back. I think their first gig in the UK was in this like like strip bar, strip club in High Wycombe. I think I may have been remembering this right. And then they suddenly blew up on the radio here, and then it started to happen in the States for them. And I think that's amazing. They're like, especially that those first couple of albums, they were so, his accent was so strong, and I just love that they found the right audience to blow up, and then kind of went global.
Yeah, because that's kind of, I mean, now, because I mentioned earlier about the Spotify, there's so many musicians out there. And that's kind of what this platform is for, is just to get anybody heard. And I tell anybody, it doesn't matter what genre, what part of your career you're in. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just like listening to music. I like helping other songwriters and meeting new people. So I'm sure you get to play out pretty good bit out there.
Yeah, I've just been touring quite a bit the past month or so.
Is there some like local bands or artists and songwriters that you're listening to that you really like that maybe nobody else has heard of yet?
I think I would be wrong not to plug the two artists that I've just been on tour with. One of them is my good friend Adam Barnes. It's spelled Barnes. And he's a wonderful kind of folky indie pop singer who now lives in France, but he's from where I'm from. And then also on tour with us was a wonderful singer-songwriter, Sarah Walk. Walk, and she's actually from Minnesota but lives in LA. And she's everything she's released is amazing, and she's just about to release a new album that we heard on tour and it's blown me away. So check out those two if you
You
get a
said
chance.
Sarah Walk, her name's Sarah.
Sarah Walk,
Okay. Yeah. I'm making sure. Between your accent and mine, they'll figure out what we're trying to say.
yeah. I'm sure I'm saying walk. I was trying to Americanize myself there a little bit.
Well, you're in the South, so it's not gonna work if you try. It's funny.
I
I had a
won't
lady,
offend you like that.
oh, you ain't gonna offend me. I'm like, I'm from the South. We don't care. We know we talk funny. I had a lady one time, I was in Vegas. And she thought I was from Scotland. I'm like, no, sweetheart, I'm from Georgia. I don't even sound Scottish. I don't even if I'm drunk and talking really fast, I don't think I sound Scottish at all.
No, that's. Do you ever have you ever had someone from England on this podcast where their accent you've struggled to understand? Because there are definitely regions in England and in Scotland where even I would have to really focus.
Not understand the words, understand the phrasing, because you guys have different words for different things. And it's like, wait, what? So, but yeah, that's the only thing. Hearing what they say and how that what they're saying, I can hear it and understand it. The phrasing, though, it's like it's different. I just think it's funny, but it's like going talking to somebody for this really thick in Canada, and I like a boot and a, and it's funny with the regions. I mean, here in the South, you hear my accent, it's not going to change. I talk like this everywhere. Everybody says, oh, you get up north and I'll tease you, but we tease the northerners too, so who cares?
I think it's a great accent. You have a wonderful voice, sir.
Thanks, sir. Well, like I said, we're gonna listen to music too. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna share the screen. This and you get about three songs, is how I normally do it. So I'm gonna share the screen and you just pick which one you want to share with the world. And I said, I'm a songwriter, I have a band too. So I like to hear stories behind the songs. If there's any type of story you want to share. So what's the first one? Anything available on Spotify, you tell me and I'll pull it up.
Yeah, let's go. We'll pretty much go solely, mostly from my new album. So the on the left there, the best I could do at the time. And I think as I've opened with it, I think we should open with Sail Away, I think.
So, all right. Yes, I saw that. I thought it was that old Flock of Seagulls song. I'm like, is he doing covers? Let me hear what he's doing. So, but what's the story behind the song?
The story behind this song is, and maybe you write in a similar way, but a lot of the time I write from a musical idea first. And I was actually in the studio. I've been working with the same producer, Sam Winfield, for the entire time I've been making music. And he's been kind of he wrote his own solo record a couple of years ago, and he was showing me one of the songs on it, and he was going, "Oh, I've written what I think is a track one." And I was like, "Oh, what?" I love the idea of what feels like a track one on an album. And literally that night, I went away and I got the guitar chord riff, just came out, as I'm sure you know happens sometimes. And then again, as I do a lot of the time, I wrote a melody over the top, and it started to feel like this, the way the music was going was summarizing how I felt at that moment about my musical journey, and how I think I'd just been through a breakup as well, and I was very conscious of the love of my parents and family and everything. And it was kind of a way of saying, whatever happens with my music career in whatever form, the only thing that really matters is the people close to me. And that kind of is the way I wanted to open the album, and it felt like it summed up the whole album, really.
Do you like listening to yourself? I like to always ask artists to ask questions.
I think if you'd asked me that when I 6 years ago when I first put my first song, I'd say no, but I haven't listened to that recording for probably 6 months. So yeah, I it's really nice to hear it.
Do you like write them and then just leave them alone? Like, I'm not doing it anymore. That's the song is done. I'm moving on.
Think maybe you're the same, but I definitely have when the recording's done and I've listened it to it to death to get the mix changes sorted out. Once that's done and it's out, I'll probably have a window of time where I just don't listen again. And then I love coming back to it and going, oh yeah, that was really good. So
Yeah.
yeah, that this was a nice moment.
You can always tell. At least I know not everybody's gonna like it. That's fine, but you can tell when it's a good song. When you really enjoy it and you like it, you can kind of tell. You'll go back and listen to it, like you said, later. You got a really good voice. That you have a falsetto that I could never do. Do
Thank
you
you.
have you practiced that? Did you are you were you just naturally done? First of all, explain to everybody how you do a falsetto, because I can't even do it. I can do it if I make a Prince sound, like hee, that's as high as I can go.
Yeah, God. How do you explain how to do it? I don't really know. I feel like I'm going into a... That's a great question. I don't know if I can answer that. I just know the feeling of getting up into that new register. And if I can maybe answer the first bit first, and then maybe I'll find a way to answer the second bit. I definitely worked on it. I definitely worked on it more because I was a frustrated singer who loves people like Sting and people with high voices in their chest, and I just couldn't get up there. So I ended up singing in my falsetto a lot to kind of be able to imitate people. And then I used to, I think a big thing that was a big training was I used to do a lot of like acoustic covers gigs where I wasn't the lead singer. And so I was always trying to do the higher harmony above the singer. And that was a way that I could hit them. And I just ended up doing it so much that that became quite a strong thing in my arsenal. I hope the word arsenal came through there clear enough.
I was just thinking, I was like, he said arse, and like that's
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, I
God.
understood
Yeah, thank
it.
God. No, and yeah, I don't know. I think it's just I've definitely worked on how to blend so it doesn't, hopefully I doesn't sound too much like there's a big jump when I go up there, but it's definitely I'm very grateful for where it's got to.
Okay. Yeah. See, I like to make notes on it. And that's one of the things I'm sitting there listening to the song, and it made me think of like Ed Sheeran. You just got that kind of that poppy style. And I'm listening to the structure of the song, and it's like you can tell there's bits and pieces that part of the whole song where you take stuff out and you add things in. And I'm listening because you saw me while I listened to my headphone. I'm like, I swore I heard seagulls.
Yeah,
Is
in the
there?
bridge.
Okay. So I
No,
did.
it's not seagulls, but I get why you thought that. There's some like reverse guitar delay that I think one of the little scrapes on the guitar ended up sounding like a bird.
Okay.
There's also, yeah, and there's a bit in there that's kind of sounds like maybe there's like a baby crying in the background. That similar seagull bit, but it's just like a freak bit of coincidence from the guitar delays and the reverse effects that we put on that bit.
That's
But I love,
funny.
no, I just lo I love the idea that people have thought of different things that it might be.
See, it's funny when you hear, I know it's when you're in the truck or you're listening to, it's different, but you hear with headphones, you can kind of hear a little bit more of the production side of it. And I'm sitting there listening to it because it's now silhouette. Okay. So now when I heard that, it automatically made my mind go to like a beach and like the seagulls flying and somebody sitting on the hood of a truck, just playing guitar and staring out into the ocean. Just that one little lick, that one little mistake that you made or whatever it was, that was
Yeah.
weird. It's funny.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. That's great. I suppose is that what they call, is it prosody, where hopefully the music and the lyrics match enough to make you feel like you're in a bit of a world, and for you to have got into that zone even for a moment is means a lot. So thank you.
Sure. I said I always make my notes here. So like I said, I always got to when I listen to something, because I mean I tell people all the time, I said, everybody comes on a show, we'll do like this, or I even do album reviews. When I do an album review, I never critique it. I'm not going to critique somebody's music. That's my opinion. What does it matter? What we do is we sit here and we listen like this. We listen to the song, we tell the stories. And that's to me means more than anything else because it's part of a songwriter's journey when you're writing a song, or even in your songwriter, we know this. When you sit down and you write a song and it means the world to you, now here comes the scary part. Scary part's not writing it. The scary part is letting somebody hear it.
Yeah,
And it means the world to
absolutely.
you, and it means something different to them. It's funny. I mean, I'm sure you have songs that like mean one thing to you, and then somebody else comes like, "Oh my God, this is what it, thank you for writing that." And it's like, "Okay, thank you."
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think it's maybe our job to correct them. Like you say, if they found something in it, it's that's for them, and that's great.
My son challenged me to write a song one time. He said, "Daddy, I want you to write a
Wow.
song that sounds like one thing, but it actually means another." I'm like,
Right.
okay, son, I'll do that. And I did. I wrote a song called I See You. And I played it out just to see kind of people's reaction to it. And one lady goes, "That was so sweet. Is that about your wife?" And I'm like, "Lord, she hopes not." Because the song is, and this is where as a songwriter, when I'll sit down and tell stories as I'm playing, because I'm not big on covers. I could do a few covers, but I'd rather play my original. So I was sitting there, and the story was, it's literal. Like we know we write songs that's more visual, but in this, I have to show it to you at the end. In this instance, it was literal. The guy has the girl chained up in his room or in a basement, and he's basically won't let her go. He's a stalker. He loves her, right? And
Yeah.
there's a line in it, like, "I see you, like with your hair all a mess," and it sounds romantic, and it's played slow. But it's not a romantic song. It is a dark, dark song.
Didn't know where that was going for a while. Then
I'll
is that.
I'd let you see it.
Did you release it,
I have
or is it
not.
just for you?
I have not. I took it to a producer and we played around with it, but I don't like the way it ended, so I haven't done anything with it yet. I probably will release it one day.
Nice.
Just for shits and giggles, just to see what it does. Because again, it's those songs that you know, it's like you don't really care about sometimes, like you just throw away song for you, but other people latch onto it. And I have a feeling if I produce it right, that that song would be one, and then I would have to come up with an actual sweet story
Yeah.
instead of the real story.
And now you've said it on the podcast, so that's it's your Every Breath You Take by Stiff Lie the
Yes.
Police. Please. Yeah, because that's like quite sinister, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
In theory. But
Yes.
no way, it's always on like love playlists and yeah, bizarre.
I'll show it to you at the end now off air. But yeah, that's I'll let you read the lyrics and you're like, "Oh, that's sweet."
Great.
But when you read it, I want you to remember it's literal. So everything said being said is literal. So what kind of projects you got going on now, Joe?
What a great question. Great question because I'm kind of in a transitionary phase at the moment. I've just finished the touring cycle for the album of which Sail Away you just heard is from. Finished UK and Europe, and I'm now kind of ready to think about the next album. So I'm planning to get Christmas out the way and a few family things, and then buckle down and try and write album two. It's a different mental place coming in this time, because the first time I was like, I don't believe I can write an album. In this time, I now have evidence that I can write an album, and I want to write one that I love as much as the first one. So I don't know how many records you've finished, but I definitely it doesn't feel like, even though I know I've written one, I'm still as nervous as I was before the first one. So yeah, that's the main focus.
For me, I've written one for see, and I don't even plan it out. That's probably the problem. Is I just like whatever. I'll just put it on. Like the first song, because I had the stuff with me for the Jesse James Landers, my songwriter stuff. I do a lot of singles and I do write songs for other people. But for like the album I did for that, the first one was called Cowboy Hats and Cellular Phones, and it was just songs that
Great
there's like
name.
20 years in the making. And then with the band, we did an album called One Shot, and It was funny because I named it because, like, okay, we're gonna get one shot to do this. Let's do it. Let's just, nail it out. Plus, there was a song for me personally. When I name an album, I want it to have a name of one of the songs that's in that album. That's the way I did. So we named One Shot was written about a sniper who died. This guy, a friend of the band, or a friend of the drummer in the band, his best friend died by a sniper, and he was suicidal. So he wanted to do a PT kind of a suicide awareness for soldiers, and it was called One Shot. And so we named the whole album that. And it's interesting because what happened is my late guitarist moved to Texas. The singer on there, because I sing a couple, but on that album, but he sang the majority. He quit. He went and did his own thing. It
Nice.
just it just like okay, that was the one shot we had as a band. Well, I put some more people together. The drummer and the bassist, and now I got the keyboard and stuff, and we're gonna do an album called Bad for Me. And it was just it's funny how it came about. It's just one of those things. I never, like I said, I never plan an album. I just whatever I hear, whatever I have, it just because all I just almost put it in. But it's about a stripper, about somebody falling in love with a stripper, and their stripper's not good for, because anybody that's been to a strip club knows that you're not going home with that lady. Well, you may think you are, but you're not. I used to work at a strip club for the door and the bar back, and I saw so many guys like thought they were in love, and they weren't in love. They just lost all their money.
That sounds like some good meaty stuff for an album.
It can't. It's funny because we just played it in the garage. I mean, we just sat here messing around in the garage. I love like one of my favorite bands is John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band. I just love those guys. I love their sound. It's electric guitar with saxophone battling back and forth. And so my
I'll write
bassist
that down.
Jordan brought his in, and we do it back and forth. Again, I'll let you hear this stuff later too at the end after we're, but it's I love the meat of it, and it just built the album.
Amazing.
And you mentioned, like you said, your first album. You didn't think he was going to do it. Is that why you named it the best I could do?
Best I could do at the time. It was kind of the whole ethos, which we kind of we've done throughout. I've released music before this album, but this is the first time I put a body of work together as an album. And kind of halfway through the process, I said, "Oh, it's just something that was kind of blurted out. This is the best I could do at the time." I think I said it at home, and then I took it to Sam and said, "I feel like I want to call it this because we put no limits on the album. Half of it was made during COVID, so there was no idea that maybe we would even have a world to return to where we could release it." And I didn't want to kind of say, "Oh, okay, I've got to make it in 2 weeks of recording." So we just kept going with, "Let's just keep recording until we're all happy." And so it was kind of the name became representative of how we were feeling about making the album. And I think that going in and coming out with that same mentality of giving it everything we could and not leaving any stone unturned is why I'm so proud of it. It does also lead to a joke now that I could now make the next one and call it the same thing, because it will also be the best I could do the time then as well. But I don't think we're going to do that, but I do like that as an idea.
I see. I think that's funny. I did an interview. Like I said, I told you, you want to ever do album review, you're welcome on and we'll tell stories and listen to the songs. A guy came on, he took me for his word, and he had like 18 songs. I'm like, okay, it's going to take a while. We did. We listened to every song, told stories, and it was like a 2-hour podcast. Didn't mind, didn't bother me a bit, but he gave me an idea. I'm putting an album together now, and I released one single from it just because I wanted to release it, called The Greatest Hits You've Never Heard.
Yeah, amazing.
Because it's probably just for me, so that's fine. But let's hear another one of your songs. Which one do you want to do next, Joe?
Was thinking, because I think you're slightly more rock leaning. Let's go for the rockiest song on the album, which is Mirror Mirror.
Okay.
It's still definitely in the pop realm, but this is, yeah.
And what's the story behind the song?
This is, again, this came from a guitar riff, the opening kind of low riff you'll hear first. And I love to play on words in Mirror Mirror, and that came to me quite quickly. And I realized from the gibberish I was singing to write the melody, that it was kind of a song about the worry I and we all were going through mid-COVID, of like looking in the mirror and kind of wondering, like, is there going to be any music industry left, or am I going to be able to see people again? And so it was kind of born out of that, and just kind of, yeah, a look at internalizing fears, but then also rising out of them. Hopefully it's an uplifting song as well.
You mentioned something, you said gibberish. Do you do that too, where like when you're singing a melody, you just like make up words that don't make any sense, and then you go back and pick certain words out?
Almost every single time. Yeah,
Okay.
and then maybe you're saying, I try and write down the gibberish I've been singing and see if subconsciously there's any meaning in there.
Yes. See,
Definitely.
good. I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I do that all the time, and I know some of the words. It's like watching that Liberty Mutual, bibbidi boo, and it's like there's no words into it, but it's a melody, and then there's like one word that throw it like angel. It's like, oh, then it makes you think. Okay, I'm glad. It makes me think of stuff, but I'm gonna mute us and play Mirror Mirror. I like it's got the mixture of it. Sitting there listening to it, I heard the UK rock vibes, the strumming, but it also had like a California beach vibe thrown in there with it too. I was
I'll
like,
take that.
that was pretty cool. And are you saying, is it paranoid reflection? Is that what you said? I'm paranoid my reflection.
Yeah, my paranormal reflection is showing the years, yeah.
I like that. When I first heard it, I thought it said paranormal reflection. I was like, oh, that's really
Oh,
cool.
interesting. Well,
So,
maybe I should change. No, ignore what I said. It was paranormal. No.
it's because it's like a ghost. It made me think, oh, it's like he's looking at a ghost in a reflection.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah. Damn, I'm a songwriter. I have weird thoughts too. We're some of the weirdest people in the world. Anybody listening, if you don't think we're weird, just ask us to go pick up a line and see what we come with it. And I'm gonna do that with you right now. I'm gonna because as a songwriter, we all pick up on things and we do it differently. So I'm gonna give you kind of a title or a hook of a song, and you tell me what in your mind that story would be. Let's see, I'm looking around, I'm trying to figure out something that I could do. I tried it like off the cusp, just and I'm looking at my water bottle. So okay, I'm gonna say empty bottle.
I think that's a man down on his luck. Maybe it's because I'm talking to you, but I see a saloon bar.
Bring out the drunks and people.
Yeah, he's got to the point where just a couple of shots isn't enough, and he's bought the bottle and taken it home, and he's in his bed sit. Maybe he made some poor choices. Lost the woman, the love of his life, and now he's staring at the empty bottle. Well, trying to stare because he's so drunk that he can barely see this bottle, and that's kind of how he feels inside. The bottle is empty, and so is he.
See that, and that's one way to look at it. And I'm sitting there thinking about it. Like that's one way that I think most people go like drinking. To me, now I'm thinking I go dark a lot of times. So what if
Okay, yeah.
the empty bottle is in the truck, and that's all that's left is of the gentleman is the empty bottle.
Interesting.
So see, I go dark sometimes. I go dark a lot. I try to make upbeat songs sometimes, but if I do, it always comes out as funny. And so it's like, okay, I'm either really good at sad, dark, bluesy, rocking songs, or I got to make something funny. I don't have an in between.
Well, you've stumbled upon the other problem of being a songwriter and thinking the way that I definitely can tell you do and I do as well. It does lead to some terrible, terrible jokes. For everyone else, even though I'm having a great time telling them, wordplay, I love wordplay, and like, I'll reveal this joke I've been peddling for a while, but I seem to, and I may have misremembered, and but basically, I don't think people in the UK used to say kids to mean children until we started to watch a lot of American TV. You just say children, and people may respond to this and say, "No, we've always had kids." But you know that a kid is also like a young goat. So this is my terrible wordplay humor in that now, whenever in real life someone says, "Oh, I've got kids," I'm like, "Wow, how have you got the land for that?" Or like, and they're like, "What are you talking about?" And I just peddle this goat joke to death, and it's just I love. How words, and like you say, with the empty bottle, it can have five different meanings, and that can lead to good songs, or it can lead to terrible but wonderful jokes.
That's and that goes with anything you say. I mean, it's funny you said that because my cousin's name is Joey, and so that's like a name of a baby kangaroo.
Yeah.
And it's always been interesting to me to hear the different styles. And I wanted to ask you this: we start talking about like Harry Potter and Christmas. Do you guys say Merry Christmas or do you say Happy Christmas?
Mostly Merry Christmas, I
Okay,
think, but you
okay.
probably get different answers.
Because I
Well,
know the
what do you
first.
say?
Merry Christmas. And the first Harry Potter, he said, Happy Christmas, Ron, and Happy Christmas, Harry. I was like, is that what they say over there? Really? Happy Christmas.
I think I've seen you see either in cards, and also we're at the point now where we're so exposed to a lot of American TV that I can't remember what the more British one is.
See, it's funny you said that because me and my son, I've got I've got three kids. One's 26, and I got twins that are 14, boy and girl. And me and a boy, Gibson, we watched this show called Ghost. Now, we don't, I didn't know it was a UK show, but it originally, so it came from the UK. We watched the American ones, and then like they have a UK version now that they started playing in the States too. And it's cool. It's cool. It's like, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that it came from you guys. It's just, it's interesting to me. I don't think we gave the world anything.
No, come on now.
Jackie Cheese. No,
there's loads. Jackie Cheese. There's loads of shows like that, isn't there? Like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which I think you call something else. That's from the UK.
We call it same. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. The famous one is The Office.
Mm.
But have you watched the US Office? Have you watched?
I've watched some of it. It's not very slow. No, not my bag, baby. I love Austin Powers too. But no, it was, I tried to watch it and I'll probably continue because everybody said the same thing. The beginning of the first season or so is kind of slow and then it picks up and it's really, really funny. But it's like Community. We watched Community, me and my son, and you know, it was really good. So I'm teaching, letting him watch some of the older stuff like Married with Children and the shows that I grew up on watching. It was really good. It's funny that we can't do, it's hard for us to do British accents. It just is, for whatever reason, but it doesn't seem to be hard for people from Britain to do American accents. And I'm like, do we just talk that easily, that simple, that they can pick up on it like that? Like Hugh Laurie, one of my favorite shows was watching House. I loved House.
House, yeah.
I didn't know he was British until I saw him in Friends. I was like, hey, oh, okay.
Wow. That he must, if he heard you say that, I'm sure that's a massive compliment because he is truly wonderfully English. Yeah. But he, I think I found when I lived in Boston, it was about the time where Russell Brand was really big in a lot of films.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever someone would imitate my accent, they would imitate it as someone from East London with like a Cockney accent where Russell Brand is from. And I found that quite funny. Everyone assumed that we all sounded like kind of Mary Poppins, Oliver Twist, kind of old East London English. But also to expect someone to know all of the insane amounts of regional accents in England would be tough. Like I don't ever dare try do an American in any region of America accent because that's a weak spot for me.
I will say that if they try to do Southern, it comes off really bad. they can hit the Midwest and the California sound because it's kind of just simple. It's not much to it. But yeah, you try to do a Southern or even like you've been in Boston, you try to do a Boston accent if you're not from Boston, it's not good.
I think I'd always, I'm not, there's no way I'm doing it in front of you, but I would default to Forrest Gump if I was going to try and do.
you mentioned it. Come on now, you got to do it.
No, absolutely not. Not happening. No way. I do love that film.
It's like a box of chocolate. My name is Forrest Gump. Yep, I loved Forrest Gump. That's a hell of a great movie. I watched that thing. Now that the kids watch it. It was just so good. I was in high school when it came out, and all the football players, we had my best friend, they called him Gump because he wasn't very fast. So they called him Gump. And he kind of looks like Tom Hanks.
Amazing. Fried shrimp.
My bubble. Let's do, like I said, we can get sidetracked in the movies now. Let me get one more song in from you, and then we'll, like I said, we'll keep talking. I always like to at least get three for you.
Yeah, no.
What's the last one you want to share, Joe?
How are you feeling about, we've done the big euphoric pop one. We've done a rocky one.
Okay.
Probably do an acoustic leaning one now from the album.
Okay.
Not from the bottom, but I'm going to maybe, can I throw the choice to you and say one of them is got a load of strings in it and is about kind of leaving someone to better yourself. And one of them is about being away on the road and thinking of your loved one.
Let's go with the first one.
Okay, Pieces, number four. And I'd like to say this, All the Strings You Hear are by one guy called Barney Morse Brown. And he played everything on a cello. So even the high stuff is on a cello. And I love that.
I love cello. I'm trying to get, my producer would tell me I have musical Tourette. I will put some of the weirdest instrumentations in songs. I love adding French horns or I was listening to your second song and I was thinking, I wonder if he put a xylophone, what it would sound like in there. Like so sometimes you can't listen to me because I will like I just want to throw random stuff. Like I want to do a song with a cello. I was like that because they're so sad sounding. It's like that's so cool. And now I'm thinking about a song with bagpipes. Like, how can I do a song with bagpipes? So my band tells me just to
Goodness
stop,
sake.
Jesse, just stop trying to put this stuff in.
I look forward to hearing
Oh, you won't. But
that.
I'm gonna mute us and play pieces, Joe. Just let me know when you hear it.
Fantastic.
Help me spy the stars to guide me home. I'm left deserted by an outward tide. The horizon lights all I know. I think I've lost my way now, and the only one. Even the waves have gone, given out. I don't wanna love you. If loving you means tearing off the pieces of my soul. I'm an island, not a soul to see for miles around. I think I've lost my way, and now I'm the only one. Even the wind has gone, given up. I'm not broken, and I'm shining even brighter than the sun. Yeah, I'm broke, but I'm not broken, and I'm shining even brighter than the sun. By the stars to guide me home.
That is a real, that's my favorite I've heard so far. I really dig that one.
Thank you very much.
It gave me a visual, and it's gonna sound weird because this is like a, now I've got a video in my head now. All right, so it starts like a guy, I think, like writing a love letter, like a broken heart, writing his love letter, and then he folds it, and you see him folding it, and then all of a sudden he's like on a sailboat, and he's fighting, and it's the wind, and he's singing, and he's playing, and as it toward the end, when you pull back, it's he made a paper boat from the love letter, and it's going down the drain, down like a sidewalk drain.
Wow.
That's
Wow,
my image.
that's a great idea for a video, actually. That's beautiful. Thank you. Wow.
You can use that. I'll give you my Venmo. I love video ideas like that. And I know that sometimes, you know, people, they do simple videos because it's all you can afford. Like, do you do videos at all for your songs?
I've done for this album, I did one kind of production music video, yeah, and I did more live stuff. But
Yeah,
yeah, I
good.
did the no, I d we did a video and filmed it in my hometown for Mirror Mirror, actually the second song. And that was a lot of fun. And it got me over my fear of doing it. So I'm definitely keen to do more now.
See, I grew up in the age of music videos when MTV was actually music videos and not all
Yeah.
these shows and crap that they had. And then they had the VH1 pop-up videos where the stories would come in. That's probably a lot of what influenced me. But like I said, I know people would want to do more, but it's so expensive to do videos, and especially something like that, because now you're talking about you need all this money, and we know independent artists, it's kind of, you get what you can and you do what you can,
Yeah.
and you can't, and that's something that I think people listening, yeah, you can go over the top if you can afford it, great for you. If you can't, then it's still okay. You can still make beautiful art by doing it on your phone, by doing it just yourself, and not going out of the way and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, which if you're going to offer to people, they will take it. They're taking
Yeah.
money in a heartbeat. But I think there's some kind of lesson in that. Like, just put your music out, do the best you can, and enjoy the ride.
Do the best you could do at the time.
That's right. See, I told
Yeah,
you I know how to wrap everything together. I learned
it's
just a little
amazing.
bit. Well, Joe, we're not done yet, but I want to thank you again for coming on the show. I know you're 5 hours ahead, so I don't want to keep you up too late because you probably got to get up in the morning.
That's very kind. No, I want to return the thanks, and I really appreciate you having me on and taking your time to talk to me about everything, and for your listeners for listening as well.
We're not quite done. We're gonna do, like I said, I'm gonna let you that stuff at the end, but before I let you go, I always do what I call the wheel of death.
Oh.
And what it is this kind of a 20 question kind of game. So what I do is I have my little app here on my phone. I put questions
Yeah.
in and I
Yeah.
hit the little random button and let it spin. And we know a lot about you because we've been talking for a little over an hour. We listen to your music. We know you're a great singer. I love the voice. I love everything about it. It's really, really good.
Thank you very much.
So now we're going to learn some stuff that's maybe not music related. Let's see what the first question is. Really need to add this at the end. This is a question I'm probably going to take out because it's kind of simple. Would you rather have endless money or endless love?
Endless love.
Endless love. And that's what most people would say, you know, because other people say, I said, well, endless money, I can always buy love. That's
The Beatles said, money can't buy you love.
right. That's kind of a question. Like, that's you can't ask that question. Nobody's going to say endless, which I did have somebody say endless money. Same thing. Have you ever been given a nickname?
Yes. And actually, I was with him today, a friend of mine. And he's the only person who ever calls me this, but I love it that he does. And he's the only one I'd let be call me this. He calls me Giuseppe. And he just started doing it, and I love it. But it would be weird if anybody else called me that. I've
So,
never had like Hixie, or my initials are JT. I've never had that. Yeah, no, that's it makes me think of him. Yeah, Tom.
see, now that's going to be people listening from your side. They're like, oh, hey, Giuseppe. They can come up to you and start calling you that name. Like, nope. See, mine
No.
was, I don't know if you ever watched the show The Simpsons.
Yeah.
My last name is Landers. When you play football, you always get weird names. Well, Donald, the guy that everybody called Gump, he always called me Flanders. And to the part that when my senior year, I actually got nominated for like the homecoming court, and they didn't use Landers, they used Flanders. Like, Donald, I'm gonna kick your ass. I said, they didn't have my last name, they had what he called me, and everybody
That's
just
ridiculous.
gravitated. It's like, oh my God, you can't help but laugh at some of that stuff, though. I need to really add the sound effect into the
No,
edit.
I love it.
Do you have any phobias?
I think phobia is strong, a strong word. I'd say I'm pretty irrationally scared of wasps.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not big into that, especially when you're sat down at a table in the summer. And in England, I don't know if it's the same in Georgia, but they descend on the table and they give out all the drinks, and I just have to leave. Yeah, not good with wasps.
Are you allergic to them?
No, I got stung a few times when I was young, and then my granny, my mum's mum, got stung. She drank a can of Coke, and it was in the can, and she got stung inside her throat. And I think she nearly died, but I don't know if that's subconscious, but I just panic. I'm like, oh my God, and I have to leave the table. So.
It's funny you call her granny. That's what we call our grandmothers in the South, granny.
Oh, that's nice.
We
Do
had
you,
I
but
had
do
a
you call
granny.
both of them granny?
No, we called one grandma, one granny, so that we would remember.
Yeah,
So,
same.
granny was with my dad's side, and grandma was my mom's side. But you mentioned like getting into Cokes and stuff. I remember my mom, she was allergic to yellow jackets, and I don't know if you have yellow jackets there, but when we were, they go in the ground and they're poisonous as far as like people kind of react to them, but they're the only insects. I own a pest control company. I learned this that I know of anyway. That you lose resistance to. So every time they sting you, the next time they sting you could be worse. They just that much the
Really?
poison. And so she got stung because it stung her on her lip. And I'm walking in the house. I was like probably 17 years old last year, high school. And she's talking to me, and I'm not looking at her yet. And I'm like, hey, mama, and I'm washing my hands. And she's like, yeah, I got stung. And she started telling me. And so I turn and look, and I started laughing. And I shouldn't have laughed, but it was so funny looking. Her half of her face was swollen because it
Oh,
stung her
God.
on the lip. And I just wasn't expecting it. And I'm like, are you okay?
If it, I don't know if you, yellow, was she okay, firstly?
Yes.
Okay, good. I don't know if yellow jackets and hornets are the same thing, but we do have hornets.
They,
Big
I'm,
old wasps.
yeah, they're not very big, but they're just as mean. They will come after you if you get near the nest.
So, writing this album, near the end of the process, I had four songs that I just didn't have lyrics for, and like, the last recording session was then coming up, and I really need to get it done. So I booked this Airbnb hut in the middle of Devon, which is southwest of England, in the middle of nowhere, on a farm, no one for miles around, just for like a week, just to try and get away from the internet and phones and focus on the lyrics. And it's just me, no one for miles. And the middle of the night, the first night, I was sat in the living room. I'd finished my writing for the day and I was watching TV. And there were no curtains in the living room. So it was just outside, there was just a lake and then the woods behind. And I heard someone tap on the window. Bearing in mind, I'm on my own, middle of the night, no one's anywhere near, and I couldn't move. And after a while, I built up the courage, turned around to see the kitchen window. Because I had the lights on, there were hornets so big they sounded like a human tapping on the window. And every night after that, even though I knew it was the hornets, it scared the hell out of me.
I don't know if
Anyway, sorry.
I don't know. I don't know if you got the name of the album yet. There you go. No curtains. There's your album title.
Okay, there we go.
Got a couple more questions for you.
Yeah.
This is why I always ask this because it's funny. It brings stories and it's interesting, entertaining stuff. If they were to do a movie of your life, who would play you in that movie?
Is it possible to not give an arrogant answer to this?
I had
Like,
somebody tell me I like Zach Galifianakis, so there probably is.
okay, I'm going to go off purely the fact I'm English and a few people have told me that occasionally I look like him and he's not even an actor, but let's just say Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Okay. See, I was thinking like Joel McHale, I think that's his name. He was in Community, the show Community. You look a little bit like him.
Joe
I
McHale.
think that's his name. I'm gonna double check. Joel McHale. Because
I'll look this
it's
up.
that's why I edit this down so we have some dead space. I think it's Joel McHale. Let me see.
I hope he's really attractive.
Let me see.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that. Nice suit as well. We'll take that. Thank you very much.
He was
Very
in that
kind.
show Community. That was one of like the cool came from that everybody says.
Oh.
No, I was gonna say I got one more question for you. I always like to end.
Yeah.
I kind of like to end this on here sometimes. If I don't get asked in the random part, there's because a lot of the time people listen to the show, they're songwriters, they're other artists. They want to know kind of how what they can do to help, what they can do to get further in their career, and this question kind of. It helps them, but it helps everybody. So, what is the best advice you have ever received?
If it's just one piece of advice, and I look, this was all from my dad, and he drilled this into me through my entire childhood, and it's shaped my entire life. Is and it's so cliche to say it out loud, but just to think positive. I think that in the music industry, especially, you can get yourself into a negative spiral,
Oh, yeah.
and things that come along. If you're in that negative spiral, you can see the negative side of them. And I absolutely do have down moments and dark times. I think music and trying to pursue music does that. But I am predominantly very positive in my the way I look at things, and that's thanks to my dad. And I think that is the thing I'd say to everyone, because you can look at a problem in two ways all the time. And I was just reading something today about how you deal with rejection, and I think that you can either see rejection as a slant on you, and that's the negative view, or you can see rejection as opening up another path. And I think trying to lean towards the positive without it being like ridiculously toxically positive, where you're not realistic, but I think that just having that tweak in my mind has helped me through a lot of things.
Yeah, and I think that's really good advice because a lot of times the advice or the feedback that you get from people isn't true. It's a lot of time people love for whatever reason to take someone else down. And it's more on their part is they're not happy. They don't want anybody else to be happy. And I think you can't look at it that way. I think if you look at all the negativity, this is a business, first of all. If you're in it to make money, there's certain things you're gonna find out you have to do. It's this way, this way. It's set for a reason. If you're doing it for the love of it, then take that as love it, enjoy it, because the minute that you start turning it into a profitable business, other people want in on it. They just do because they want to help you make money. They want to make money, and that's how the world works. So you're not gonna please everybody. And I had this conversation with my wife a couple months ago. I was like, you know what? If I can get just 1% of the population of the world, just 1%, to buy one of my singles, I'll be set. I don't care about the other 99%. 1%. That's all I need. It's funny when you think of it that way. But music is subjective. People aren't going to like, when I asked you earlier about Stones and Beatles. It's totally subjective. People love the Beatles for the songwriting, for their style. To me, it was like Pink Floyd. My dad loved Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd is weird as far as like trying to listen to it. They had, I listened, and I mean that in a nice way, but I listened to their tape. And when you put in a tape, like nowadays, you can just go to single and you can skip and do whatever. Back then, you put in Dark Side of the Moon and you play it. This whole tape, it never stops. And you don't know where one song starts and another begins. And I should say, it's not weird. I guess they're artistic. Well, artistic, we'll say artistic. And people love that. To me, I like, well, where's the song start? Because my OCD kicks in. Where's the start? I want to know the beginning. I want to know the end. But that's just my subjective. But millions of people love them. And they have some good songs. I don't think they have some bad songs, but they had some good songs.
And I suppose one way of looking at, I know a lot of musicians, myself included, at times get caught up in the numbers. And you could say, let's say you put out a song and it doesn't have many streams. Maybe it's only reached the people that feel like you do about the Dark Side of the Moon. And they just haven't reached the right people yet. That's what I'm trying to do with the spinning of positive spin on stuff.
Yeah. And that's why, go ahead.
You can get so caught up in that. And ultimately, as one of my great teachers at Berkeley said, like, you chose to do this. You've put yourself in the game. And if you can find a way to see the opportunities rather than the roadblocks, I think it helps you a lot.
Yeah, because if you help one person, just one out of millions and millions of people, you honestly have done your job. Because it's like you help them. How many people do they help? And it just stacks like a pyramid on top of each other. But I know, like you said, they get caught in the numbers. How many likes? How many spins? How many listens? How many this? How many that? Ask yourself this question, because you play live. You know, you've been out in this thing. You could have 20,000 streams, million streams. How many people show up to the show? That's where you're. Yeah. Followers and your fans, and that's what you grow, and you grow it by being face to face, being positive, like you said, you know, because you're going to get people there that don't like you. You're going to get there with drunks, and they're not even going to remember you. You know, I've had people try to play my guitar that drunk. I wouldn't let my mom play my guitar. I'm not going to let a drunk man touch my guitar. So just, you know, and just enjoy the ride, because when it ends, it ends. And it ends when you give up on what you want to be in life. I love, that's why I love songwriting, because I can do it if I can't pick up a guitar anymore, if I can hit keys, maybe I can do melodies, I can do lyrics, I can still be part of it.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So, but thank you, Joe, again, for coming on the show. That was so much fun.
No, thank you so much, Jesse. I really enjoyed that.
So we'll talk a little bit off air, but tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media, wherever you want them to go.
Firstly, thank you. Let me start again.
Sorry, it's kind of contagious when you listen to a southerner talk. You'll be saying y'all and yuns in no time.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Firstly, thank you very much for listening. And if you made it this far, you're a legend. An hour and 20 minutes in, we've had a lot of fun talking here. And if you do like what you heard and want to hear my music, I'm pretty much Joe Hicks Music on all social media. And my website, joehicksmusic.com, has links to everything. I'm on all the streaming services. Hopefully at some point in the next year or so, I'd love to get out to the States if you're in the States. Otherwise, I'll definitely be touring, and hopefully I'll have a new record out soon. But come and check out the best I could do at the time.
Absolutely, guys. Listen to some music. And Joe, you're welcome. Come back anytime you want. Album review, if you're in the States, you'll come, and you're in Georgia, come see us. Well, I'll do it live. By then, hopefully the studio will be finished.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to see it.
And if you're not there, I got a gazebo that I do. When I started the podcast in 2019, we started outside in the gazebo. And then I realized that it gets super cold sometimes. I mean, I did an interview with one guy. We're literally sitting on our hands. We're freezing. And I'm like, at that moment, I'm like, all right, I'm building a damn studio so they can be warm, and then we can get out of the cold.
Well, that makes me want to say as well, thank you for everything you're doing to showcase musicians. It is massively appreciated, and it's wonderful.
I do it because I love it. I do it as long as I can. That brings me to another thing to tell you, and in case you didn't know, most people know, I do the Georgia Songbirds Weekly Top 10 Countdown. And what that is, it's 14 artists. I put them in a little competition. It's fun. They get voted on by the fans. The top 10 move forward each week. They last 12 weeks. They get a little featurette in Paris from my indie radio station. Muro runs that. But when your episode comes out, I will automatically put one of your songs into the countdown. And it's kind of fan based. It's vote. Not if you win, great. If you last 2 weeks, great. That's not what it's about. It's about getting as much exposure as you can, because I send it to other radio stations and they play it, and that's all that it is. So it's just fun. I call it competition because I love competition everywhere. Competition's good for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sure.
I look forward to that.
All right, everybody. This is Georgia Songbirds, and that was Mr. Joe Hicks. Thank you, Joe, for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.